This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And if you're watching us on YouTube at the Team 980, you're seeing a scrambling Anthony Haney. Your headphone broke?
It just broke. What?
You only wear one side anyway.
I fear this is the good side.
Is the other side workable? Can you switch it?
Actually, this is the good side, but I'm still confused why this broke.
That I think is an easy. It just pops back in. Just get it lined up, and yep, there up there you go.
Okay, I was a little concerned.
When mine falls off, it's like a whole pad that I got to put back on. Whoa, it's also hiding the fact that I got a real alfalfa situation going on in the back of my head right now. Your boy needs a haircut. Bad. And the headphones are keeping the hair in place.
Let's move down. Then.
It looks fine on camera straight on. Buddy, if I turn to the side, it'd be a bad situation.
Oh, man.
You know it's a good situation? Commanders-Ravens. It's an exciting football game where there will be lots of players who will have big impact. Our goal at this time is to pick six, not named Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels. They're going to be the most impactful. We call it the pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is cool!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, Anthony, you missed last week. I let Essek go first, but you're back, and I'm still going to let you go first.
You are a kind person, Craig.
I am kind. Also, I like to react off of what you do. So, you know, just leaves things open. I like the rhythm.
Number one, Mr. Hoffman. I'm going to go with a veteran on the offensive side of the ball. And that veteran is Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz. I think he has an opportunity to have a good impact on the game. I think when you look back at the game against the Raiders where Brock Bowers was able to get off. And there was another game that had a tight end that was able to have a huge game. I'm expecting this veteran guy to just be able to, you know, be there, be a security blanket for Jaden. I think last week he had a couple of drops that, you know, very unlike Ertz.
He did have a couple, but he also had a couple of big catches.
Like, yeah, he did.
He was involved. He was impactful.
So I think... him, and also I think it just relieves some of the pressure on the receivers. They have Brandon Stevens. They have Marlon Humphreys. I think, and Kyle Hamilton. I think if there's a guy that you're going to attack in that secondary, it's going to be Marcus Williams. He hasn't played particularly well. I think he has one of the lower PFF grades among safeties. So I think if we're going to pick matchups, I think Zach Ertz has a really good chance to pick up some crucial first downs, extend some drives, and, you know, be that reliable person that he's been for Jaden all season long.
I think it's a great pick. I think that it's going to be really important for them to run the football this weekend, obviously. And so your tight ends are going to get involved in that. But then can you make plays out of the heavy personnel groupings? And can you, you know, I also think that getting some of Baltimore's coverage players on the field or off the field is huge. So those multiple tight end sets become really, really important. And Zach is the guy that can create some great matchups for you on that. I definitely think also the safety blanket stuff. Like, you're probably going to face a few more third downs. You're probably going to face a couple more key situations. You're going to have to convert in the red zone. You know, you can't kick field goals against this Baltimore team. You got to get touchdowns. And, you know, we saw last week two plays in a row where he could have had touchdowns, or they're looking for Ertz in the red zone, and one's the incompletion, one's the interception. So he's obviously someone they look for down there. So I think Zach Ertz is pretty much always a great call, but I definitely understand why you put him first this week. All right, let's get technical. Number two. Daron Payne. I struggle between Allen and Payne, but I'm going to go Daron because I think he's the guy that they've moved around a little bit more, which kind of goes back to something. By the way, this show occasionally makes good points. In the offseason, We did a countdown of the most important Commanders for the 2024 season. We put Jerron Payne ahead of John Allen under the premise that in this, hey, let's move people around and try to create matchups version of the Washington defense, that Jerron would have more flexibility than John. Correct. Good job, Craig. Nailed that one. And I think in this game, that matters a lot. Jerron's ability to play on the edge, because he's so big and physical and has that defensive tackle body, but is so absurdly quick and his hands and his feet are so good that he can play on the edge, I think becomes really important against a Baltimore team that is going to try to get on the edge in the running game. Yes, Derrick Henry is a load of a running back, but he plays like a speed back. They want to get him outside. They want to get him on the edge and then let him stiff arm little guys. And if Jerron Payne can blow up some of those outside zone type of plays, some of those stretch plays, then that's great. If he can chin a guard that pulls on him, that is really helpful. And so Jerron, and they can also be big without playing bigger personnel, if that makes sense. They can play John, Jerron, and Johnny Newton together. They can use some different types of fronts, and Jerron's versatility is the key to that. He can play anything from a nose tackle to a one technique, a three technique, a five technique. Like, you can play him as outside the tight end. You could do whatever you want with Jerron Payne. And I think they're going to have to move him around. They're going to have to play some anticipation. And his versatility is enormous this weekend. He's played really well the last couple weeks. I think Jerron Payne, let's win more than rock, paper, scissors. Let's win a football game. Jerron Payne, number two.
I love the pick. I'm going to get to number three, though.
Number three.
I'm going to go with Quan Martin, Craig. I'm going Quan okay. Martin. Baltimore has two standout star tight ends, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, who blossomed into something, you know, last season, but he's really taking a huge step forward this season. I think he's going to be tasked with defending those guys to an extent. Yes, you have Louisville. Yes, you have Wagner. But I think Quan, he presents the versatility. He also has the size, the speed, to hang with those guys. So I think he's going to show up. Also, I think this is probably a good opportunity for us to get one of those takeaways. If I had to put my money on us getting a takeaway, I think Quan would be the guy. He had an opportunity last week. And Joe Witt, you know, he talked
perfectly
about
perfectly jumped a route. And yep. Then just football, meet chest plate, meet ground.
Exactly. So I think the opportunities are going to be there for us, I think. It's more so us capitalizing on those things. And Joe Witt, he's just going to encourage those guys to, you know, continue playing, and they'll come our way eventually. And I think he can possibly have one of those opportunities this weekend against one of those guys.
I think you can, and especially if you get pressure from guys like Payne and Allen inside, like Lamar will sail a couple of throws. As I said earlier in the show, Lamar is not inaccurate. He's streaky accurate. So he'll go through phases where he is lights out, and you're like, what? There is nothing we can do with this guy. Like, this is a nightmare. There's also times where he won't hit anybody. And so he'll still make plays. He'll find a big one. Like, you can never turn it off. Be like, he's having a rough time. Easy. No, it's never easy against Lamar Jackson, which is part of what makes him so good, is even when he's off, he's still so dangerous because of what he can do with his legs. And, you know, he's always one play away from turning back around. But the question I would have is, when he has an inaccurate streak and he throws a ball behind someone, over someone's head, whatever, can you take advantage and pick it? And you also mentioned earlier in the show, Lamar's got a little bit of a propensity to fumble the football. Quan's a guy that can definitely scoop or come in with a big hit late and jar a ball loose. So I think Quan Martin is a great pick. I will tell you now, I have my eyes on one of the other safeties for number four. The back half of our pick six is next, and I'll tell you which safety. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. Wrapping up the pick six here on the Hoffman Show. Coming up in 12 minutes, how to stop Lamar Jackson through the eyes of Logan Paulson. A little Take Command Friday preview for you here on the Team 980. But let's pick it up right where we left off. Anthony said Quan Martin was his second player, our number three overall in our pick six. I told you the other safety is going to be next. Which one? Percy Butler, Jeremy Chinn, Anthony?
Number four
is Jeremy Chinn. Washington's personnel choices are going to be very interesting to me in this game. I think they have a couple of options when Baltimore has two tight ends on the field or Patrick Ricard, their 300-pound fullback. You could go base personnel. You could have Michael Walker join, or if Jordan McGee is active, McGee come up and play three linebackers on the field. Try to get Frankie Luvu in space, let those other two in Wagner and Walker probably just eat blocks. Hopefully Frankie can run around them and make a bunch of tackles on Derrick Henry. That's one way you can play it. But the way the Commanders have matched heavier personnel groupings this year, specifically 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends, which Baltimore plays a lot, is with their nickel personnel, meaning that you have five defensive backs on the field. Now, you could go big nickel, in which case Jeremy Chinn probably plays down in that nickel kind of spot, or you could have Noah Igbinoghene down there, and either way, you're bringing Jeremy Chinn down in the box, and that is why he is number four. I do think Percy Butler is really important in this game. So, Anthony, are you going to pick Percy Butler? We can have all three safeties here.
No, I wasn't going to pick Percy.
Okay. Percy. I very easily could pick Percy because I think he's the guy that can match up with Isaiah Likely. I think he's the guy that can match up with Justice Hill as a coverage player, and that those two responsibilities are really important. I think Chinn can also match up with Likely. He's very, very big. He runs well enough. But his size in the box solves, in theory, the problem that Washington has, which is you want speed and size on the field together. And Chinn is big enough and has enough skill in terms of taking on blocks, enough experience that he can take on a pulling guard or knows how to navigate a 300-pound fullback in a way that most safeties in this league can't. He is a hybrid type of player. And you need speed on the field because Lamar's really fast and Derrick Henry's really fast and Justice Hill is really fast. And they use a lot of misdirection. And you have to be able to run with Baltimore. And so Chinn's ability to play kind of two positions and fill two roles, I think, is really important. It's why also, by the way, this team brought him in. It's why they drafted Dominique Campton. It's why a guy like Tyler Owens is a future prospect for them. Those younger guys aren't ready to do this yet, but this has always been an important part of DQ's defense. It's how they want to play, and it puts a lot of pressure on the guy who gets stuck with that hybrid responsibility. Jeremy Chinn, you have the hybrid responsibility. I think there's some other guys that are interesting to talk about in terms of potentially they want to get funky with some personnel, you know, guys like Dante Fowler and things they can do with him. But I think Chinn is the primary guy here when you talk about stopping the run. Obviously, it starts with shedding blocks and getting off of guys and Allen and Payne doing their thing. But Chinn is kind of the linchpin in the run defense plan. And so Jeremy Chinn, number four for me / us here in our pick six.
I love the pick of Jeremy Chinn. I think early in the season, though, what we're asking him to do this game in terms of come up, fill the lanes, actually make the tackles.
He's no coming up, bro. He's going to be in the box.
He's already going to be there. So it's more so just, I guess, completely.
I mean, I say that, but then again, Joe Witt's played more too high coverage structure, so he might have to fly down, in which case, like Payne and Allen and those guys squeezing down and, you know, mm-hmm. Frankie making sure that he's not freelancing too much. Like, you freelance enough to go make some plays. If you can shoot a gap, shoot a gap. But you got to squeeze so Chinn doesn't have to come down and fill an 8-yard gap. So some of those problems that crept up earlier in the year, like, they've done a better job. Bro, if you don't do that against Baltimore, Henry's going in. How many yards are between the line of scrimmage and the end zone? That's how many yards Derrick Henry's going to run for. Yeah. That's just how it is.
Number five.
Number five. I was torn on who I really wanted to go with, number five. I'll ask for some help. Craig, should I go O-line or wide receiver?
Ooh. Why don't you go wide receiver? Because I was thinking about O-line, so I'll hit O-line next. That solidifies my decision.
Okay. I'm going to go with Terry McLaurin. I'm not sure if – did we pick him last week? Or did you guys pick him last week?
I do believe we did. And turns out that was a good pick.
Or did you guys pick Deami last week?
We picked both last week.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm picking one of them. I think we have a legitimate shot of explosive plays down the field, whether it's going to be Terry, whether it's going to be Deami.
Noah Brown's back.
Yeah, he might be back. You got
he
Luke.
He is back. That just came through, actually. He's got no injury designation going into the weekend.
Oh, there it is. So we got some chance. Yeah, we got some chances for some explosive plays down the field. Baltimore's defense has been susceptible to it. I just want Terry to be more consistent as far as catching the ball. Again, he had a perfectly layered pass from Jaden, you know, to him in the back of the end zone that he dropped. It hit both his hands. But if you're going to be the premier receiver that we all are expecting you to be, you got to make those catches. And I think this is just a good opportunity for you to go out there and have a big game. Everybody's been making excuses for why Terry hasn't done this, and it'd be because of the quarterback play. Well, you have a quarterback. Let's execute. Let's go out there. Let's get this dub, man. We're going to need these explosive plays. We're going to need them. We're going to need them, man.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's such a great point with Terry, because I think sometimes you can watch the film and be like, man, Terry could have a touchdown there. Terry could have a touchdown there. Yep. There's some opportunities that are open for Jaden in scramble drills. And like, obviously, you hit him on the big one. It's not like he's not finding Terry. Terry's being found more this year than he ever has in his career, at least since like his rookie season, it feels like. But there are even more opportunities. But you also got to make do with the ones that you got. And that was a drop. The fade ball in the third quarter last week. That was a hell of a throw. One of the best throws Jaden made all day. Non-scrambling, throw the ball 56 yards in the air edition. So I think that's a great call. I think Noah's interesting. I think Luke's really interesting. Yep. Jaden has shown a propensity to throw Luke on some timing routes where he has a really high level of trust. And you have to do that. I mean, watching the tape of how Burrow beat up this defense, like, there are some times where it's just like, I got T. Higgins, I know he's going to win. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, plant, boom, throw, bang, deep out. T. Higgins wins there. And some of those routes have gone to Luke McCaffrey this year. So I think Luke is a really critical piece, potentially picks up, you know, he might have 3 catches for, I don't know, 18 yards. But if all of them are 6-yard gains on 3rd and 4, then like, hey, man, that dude's doing his job. Plus what he does in the run game. Obviously, we saw on the B-Rob touchdown last week how effective he can be. Noah's interesting. Like, I like all these guys. I don't, you know, none of them are going to be all pros, except for maybe Terry. But all of them are good NFL football players who understand the role. And Diami, by the way, we should put him down just because he was so good on the show yesterday. If you missed that interview off the top of the show, definitely worth going and checking out. Find some time this weekend. Carve out 10 minutes for our chat with Diami Brown, Commanders receiver, here on the Hoffman Show. Okay, that means I will fulfill my promise then, Anthony. And
number 6.
I will go offensive line with Tyler Biadasz. Dan Quinn was asked, or Cliff, somebody was asked about him earlier this week, and about that veteran relationship. And it's like, yeah, no, he's been great. And, you know, we trust him with the protections, all this kind of stuff. But I think just generally the offensive line is really important this week against a Baltimore run defense that has been sensational. Washington needs to be able to run the football some. You're going to get stuffed some. That's just the way it is. But you want proof points that getting stuffed occasionally doesn't ruin your run game. Look at the Washington defense. They're one of the worst in the league yards per carry. They also were 3rd highest in the league in stuff rate. So you can have it both ways. You just got to keep going back to the well. Find the runs that work. And so the communication between not only Biadasz and Jaden to navigate a noisy crowd and all that kind of stuff are really important, but Biadasz being able to go back to the huddle, and really this is all of them, to go back to, not the huddle, the sideline and be like, hey, I think we can hit this. I'm seeing this. Like, being able to both play and take some notes at the same time, I think could be really critical for some in-game adjustments. Let's find the runs that work. It might be some of the straight ahead stuff. It might be some of the you know, hey, we're pulling here, we're doing this misdirection. But Biadasz's ability this year to get out in space, I think, has really, really been key for this team. And you know, they've got to continue to find ways to do that on Sunday. Does that hit the main points you had for the offensive line, Andy?
Yeah, and one thing I would just add, just being wary of where Kyle Hamilton is. He's, I want to say he had like 5 or 6 sacks last season. Like,
that's,
he plays close to the line, so it's more so just being wary of where he is, sliding the protection to where he is so that he isn't coming scotch-free and, you know, getting a strip sack. He had a couple of those last year. I haven't seen it much this year, but I know he's a threat for it.
Yeah, no, that's a great call. Being able to locate, find. Because that's the thing. It's like so many of these systems, and Mike McDonald was the best at this, and obviously Zach Orr's not on his level yet, but he's trying. Some of their zone pressure stuff where they drop certain guys out and bring other guys, like, it's real easy if you can't figure out who's coming to call the wrong protection. Yeah. You slide left, they fake left and everybody's coming from the right. Now Jaden's got to make magic happen. And luckily for them this year, the few times that it has happened, Jaden's made a lot of magic. But you don't want to live like that. You want to be able to get the right number of people in the protection and get them assigned to the right places. And Biadasz can be super helpful against what is one of the trickier defenses that he's faced so far this year. And obviously their one loss, like Tampa got a ton of pressure. So how do they handle that? Biadasz at the center, quite literally, of it all. All right, that's our pick six. Six players. We'll see how they did on Monday at 6 o'clock as we break down the game. Of course, don't forget, Take Command postgame show will be Sunday night. Road game timing, so 7:30 is our planned start time on YouTube at the Team 980, but sometime before 8:30 or so, that podcast will be in your audio feed. But for preview purposes, you don't have to go anywhere to get a little bit of Logan Paulson in your life. Logan and I's preview of how the Commanders can stop Lamar Jackson next. Wrapping up, final half hour of the week on the Team 980. It's a Football Friday here on the Hoffman Show. Team 980 always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And coming up at 6:45, we will pick Commanders and Ravens. But one last knowledge bomb before we do that. From Take Command, Logan Paulson and I talking about how the Commanders defense can begin to try to think about stopping Lamar Jackson. Why is Lamar so dangerous? What about him is so unique? And what if you're Jowett Jr., what are you trying to shut down to and kind of like force them into the box you want and then pray that Lamar doesn't blow up that box?
Yeah, so I think this is going to sound insane, but when you watch the film, specifically the Cincinnati film, I think the one thing that if I'm Joe Witt, that I take away from that game is I'm really, 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 really trying to stop the run. Like that is the first and foremost thing with this team. And that's and people hear that and they say, oh, well, Lamar's a good passer. Yeah, I know he's a good passer, but they are an excellent team at running the football. So basically, they're so efficient at running the football, it basically replaces all of their like quick game. There's no underneath passing attack really here. It's just like I can run zone read. I can run GT. I can do like a little jet sweep to Justice Hill. Like I can do whatever any run you think of, like we've got it in. I can put Patrick Ricard in the dot. We can have two tight ends in and we can dent your face mask. Like they do a lot of stuff, put on a lot of different hats. And I think, you know, I was talking to Dan Quinn yesterday on the game plan show where he kind of previews the matchup the morning of the game. And he was saying, you know, that's one of the reasons training camp is so important. I know everyone wants to get rid of training camp, but it allows us to kind of talk through 21 runs, 22 runs, you know, sub runs, zone read, RPO, all that stuff. And so we've touched on all this stuff because of training camp, but we need to make sure we know it really well because they do it all, right? And I think that's the thing that is really overwhelming about the rushing attack is it's so diverse. But I think when you look at what Cincinnati did, that's take something from that book. They were basically like, how many people can we put in the box and feel good covering? Like, let's do that. More people. You from the stands. Let's come in here. Stand near the line of scrimmage. And we're going to blitz. We're going to line stunt. We're going to make it hard for you to kind of get consistent looks. Because the other thing about it is their offensive line is starting to kind of figure it out. I think that's another reason their offense is playing better. Daniel Falele, that big guard from Minnesota, he played tackle. He's 6'8". He's 400 pounds. Like him on a double team with Tyler Lindenbaum is scary. Tyler Lindenbaum is one of the best kind of move centers in the NFL. Ronnie Stanley is starting to play like Ronnie Stanley again. They've got a lot of kind of interesting things. They moved, what's his name, Makari, their backup tackle, who is kind of their jack of all trades. He's starting at guard now for them. And the production's just been so much better with him in there. Rosengartner, the guy from UW, who we all like coming out, starting to play good football for them. So it's all kind of happening for them up front. And I'm just basically like, put more people in there, put more bodies in there. Because the two guys on the right side are good athletes, Falele and Rosengartner, but they do make mistakes. They gave up a safety to Cincinnati last week on a mental mistake between the two of them. So I look at that and I say, that's got to be priority number one. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. But that's priority number one. People say, why? Why do you want to do that? Lamar diced them up in the second half of that game. I get it. But the one thing about Lamar that you see when you're watching the film is it's not like this super great rhythm and timing and we can just dink and dunk and dissect you down the field. He finds big plays, explosive plays, but it takes a lot. He's got to scramble around. He's got to look down the field. Guys get open late. I would prefer that because there's more variability there than Derrick Henry running for 6 yards a pop. Like, that's just my thought. I don't 100%. Want them. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so that's where I get to is you got to stop Lamar running the football because he's such a driver of that and hope that you can kind of mathematically sway your option in this more high leverage passing attack that they have.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with that. And, you know, hey, if Lamar's going to have 2 weeks in a row where he finds seven big plays, like, okay, he's Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. It's not off the table. But I'd rather that than Seth Hutt turn around, hand the ball to Derrick Henry. Seth Hutt turn around the other way, hand the ball to Derrick Henry, this time with Patrick Ricard in front of him, a 300-whatever-pound fullback smashing people's face in. Okay, now fake a handoff to Henry, and Lamar's on the edge, and he's got – you know, Ronnie Stanley out in front of him. Like, it is a nightmare if you're going to do that stuff. And so I would much rather that. Plus, I think there are opportunities for turnovers with Lamar as a passer. You have to be super disciplined. He does not take sacks. It is crazy, the sack to pressure percentage. He has been pressured, I think it's, let's see, where is it?
50 times.
51 pressures. Yeah. He's taken five sacks. 51 pressures, taken five sacks. So you have to be really disciplined. But if you can get him to throw, he makes bad throws, like from the pocket. Has he grown and does he see the field way better than younger Lamar? Yes. Was some of that always overstated because of how athletic he is and people just wanted to look at that and assume he couldn't play from the pocket? Of course. But to pretend like he is I don't know, Tom Brady, who can also run, is also a fallacy. Like, that's not who he is.
Right.
And so you watch some of these bad throws and it's like, well, dang, if you can pick off one or two of those, like, it changes the entire complex of the game, the entire framework of the game. And so I think that you have to be on your toes for opportunities when you rush him and then force throws. And I think the other thing that really stood out in a couple of these games, specifically like the one that stood out as different, was the Buffalo game. They got no pressure on him. And if you let him sit back there with no pressure, he will be Tom Brady from the pocket. He's an NFL quarterback. But if you can get some push, even if you don't hit him, you don't sack him, whatever, but you just make his feet uncomfortable, you make him, you know, change the arm angle in a way that he doesn't want, make him, you know, kind of feel uncomfortable, that's when he'll throw high. And if he can throw over a receiver right into the arms of Aquan Martin, like, sick, there's your pick. Get two of those and you've got yourself a great chance to win the football game.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the Cowboys game, when you look at the Bills game, kind of their two most physically dominant wins, like, he threw for under 200 yards. And I think that's where they want to live. Like if I'm the coach, I'm saying, like, this is who he can be because of, and again, it's not like he's not playing when they're running the football. He's the engine that drives their rushing attack because it adds so much flexibility and diversity. Like, obviously we talked about, you know, Picard and Henry and being physical and being big. And there's some absolutely disgusting plays of Picard just killing a safety and then Derrick Henry stiff arming some guy. And you're just like, they don't play football like this anymore. And teams aren't built to stop this anymore. But then in the next play is a fake handoff to Derrick Henry, a fake reverse to Justice Hill. We're running GD to the offensive right. And Lamar is, I don't know what he ran, but he looks like he's running a 4-2 out there and runs for 15 yards for a first down. And you're just like, how do we match this? And so when you watch him versus Cincinnati, when you watch him when he's a little bit stressed out, because they were down going into the fourth quarter there and he had to do some pretty miraculous stuff to get them back in it.
And credit to him, he did.
He did it. Like, and so we're saying, like, he is good at football. He's an excellent football player. He can throw, he can run, he can do it all. But when I watch him, I see a guy who's an offense that's much more efficient when they're efficient running the football. When he's got to get back there and throw, it's not on time. It's not, I don't think he does. This is not to say he doesn't see it well. It's just kind of a little bit out of rhythm and
the receivers aren't great.
That's
like,
yeah. And I was just about to say that.
Good. Bateman, like, by the way, who's banged up and might not even play in this game. Like, he's okay.
Yeah, so I was just about to say that, like, and this is a really kind of fundamental, like, nerdy football thing, is their best players are the tight ends. Charlie Kolar, Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews, right? Those are the guys. Zay Flowers is a good piece. What they do a good job of with the run game is stretching you horizontally. When you watch them, they have a really, really hard time because they don't have that dog wide receiver of stretching you vertically. So everything gets a little bit tight near the line of scrimmage, especially if you can't run the football. All of a sudden, the windows get small. The timing's a little bit weird. You got to hold the ball a little bit longer because you're waiting for Isaiah Likely to run this deep crosser or attack the seam, and it's different. And so versus the Bills, I thought they did a good job of using Zay Flowers, not as an underneath kind of screen option guy, but kind of get the top off the defense a little bit, and it created more space underneath. But they don't do that all the time. And so I prefer, because the passing attack is not, it's good, but it's not the Cincinnati Bengals. Take away the run, force them to throw. It's still hard. He's still right. An MVP caliber player.
It's the best option, even yes. If you would never, like, if you could pick the Browns pass game to play against, you pick that 110 times out of five. Like, we understand what we're saying here. It's just like, you got to pick something, and that's what you'd pick.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately what you get to. Because, again, it's not always on time. It's not always on rhythm. It's not always the most accurate. But can he still make explosive plays? Yeah, like, I mean, I've watched that play. The play where he stiff-arms Sam Hubbard twice and delivers it to Isaiah Likely is maybe the best football play I've ever seen. He's like the one player in the NFL currently that can make that play. Yeah, so obviously, like, he's going to get his, like, no matter what you do. But in terms of just easier, relatively, and both things being hard, comparatively, that's the one you're choosing.
Yeah. Two more things real quick that I wanted to hit on. One is that they are really conservative on first down, because when you can rush for 6 yards a carry, which is, by the way, what they're averaging as a team this year, 6.1 yards a carry.
Crazy is that?
Through five games is nuts. So they just run the ball a lot, but they also play action off. Like, first down is going to be a run or a play action, which also kind of sucks, because even if they run it eight times, that play action could be the one that kills you. Right. So good luck guarding that. But, like, it does leave them into some second and longs, and then ultimately some third and longs. The thing I think is interesting about that is they are ridiculously aggressive on third down. Yeah. Like, they will sit, because Lamar is so good at not taking sacks, and because he has such a knack for generating big plays, especially on the second play, if you will, when the play gets extended. They'll run guys vertical on third down, and it's almost like, you know, when you watch a quarterback who's a young guy who doesn't know what he's doing, except for this time, it's like Lamar knows exactly what he's doing. It's just that the receivers aren't going to get open in the first concept. So it's like, wait, okay, it's been 3 seconds. Let me go extend the play and run around. And he's the best at it in the whole league. If there's a ton of space, he'll run. If not, he will, you know, run around and then find someone late in the down, and he can throw any arm angle. He'll throw it as he's, you know, leaping out of bounds back across his body and find a completion. But they will create that space on third down vertically, which, again, not only you have to cover that because he will make those throws down the field, but if that pulls your coverage players away from the line of scrimmage, that's where he gets a ton of huge scrambles on third down. So I think that's an interesting, like, third and long is not a safe space against the Baltimore Ravens. And that is, that's a terrifying proposition. All right. If you want the full podcast from Take Command, you can check it out anywhere you get your podcast, including, because I cut that in a very stupid place, the second point I was going to make. That was about first downs. If you want to hear the point about third downs, you got to go to the full podcast. Maybe, Anthony, I did that on purpose. Maybe that was a tease. Or maybe it was a famous Hoffman struggle with math.
I would say it was probably the latter.
Yep. That's probably correct. When we get back, we'll pick the football game. All right, it's Friday. We're wrapping up here on the Hoffman Show. We have a gigantic game on Sunday. If you missed any of our shows this week, of course, you got the whole weekend to catch up on the podcast. Highly recommend John Kime today, 5 o'clock. Obviously, Take Command's preview is really, really good this week. I say obviously, that was kind of arrogant. I think we do a good job, but I also thought that this particular week it was one of our better shows on the preview edition. I really was happy with the show this week, so I would love for you guys to check that out. And if you're not subscribed to Take Command, subscribe, and then you can get all the Take Command shows. Logan and I are going to do the post game show together, even though it's a road game. The benefit of the game being in Baltimore, is that Logan's going to get home at a reasonable time. So by the time we'd have someone else do it, Logan's just going to be in front of his, like, ready to go anyway, with his microphone and his camera. So, 7:30, we might be a little late depending on some stuff. I'm going to the Spirit game on Sunday because I'm a season ticket holder and I would like to be able to use my season ticket. So I'm going to watch the Commanders, Ravens game. I'm going to go to Audi Field. Then I'm going to come home and then we're going to do a podcast. So whenever I get home or whenever Logan gets home, we're going to do the Take Command post game show. And then it will be in your audio feeds immediately after. But if you want to join us live on YouTube at the Team 980 or at Craig Hoffman, would love to see you there. Okay, that's the housekeeping, Anthony. Time to pick the game. Commanders, Ravens, who you got?
See, early in the week, I definitely I had the Ravens. That's what I told JP. Shootout, I think the Ravens edges out by three. After a long 3-4 days sitting on it, I have come to the conclusion. And now, Craig, I'm going to let you know that I have chosen to stick with my original pick. I'm going Ravens. 31-28 shootout, Baltimore Ravens.
31-28. That is a big, big, big number. I actually have a funny feeling that Washington, like, I got a weird feeling about it, in that I think Washington could definitely win. I'm not going to be gutsy enough to pick it, and I'm just going to be a gigantic wuss here on the air because I think that the most likely outcome is Baltimore wins. I think that there could be a blowout either way, to be honest. Like, I could see how it happens. I think the most likely outcome, though, is a Baltimore close win. I think that, they can get one or two stops in the red zone, you know, whatever it is. Lamar makes some crazy play. It just, they're at home. They've been in these kinds of games before. It's new for almost everybody at Washington. And I think that they can compete, though, and that is good. Like, Baltimore's more talented. They've got, if we did a draft of Baltimore and Washington players, more Baltimore players would go in the top half.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be, depending on the length of the contracts, the number one pick would be pretty interesting right now between the two quarterbacks. But that is, you know, one has been doing it for 5+ years and it's 2-time MVP and the other's been doing it for 5 games. So from a predictive standpoint, it seems like Baltimore is going to win the game. I'm going to go Baltimore 27-24, which also realizes is a lot lower score than a lot of people are predicting. I tend to think these defenses are going to try to really crank it up. I also think that this game could be short on possessions, some longer sustained drives by both teams. The entire world is going to be on the over. So of course it'll hit the under because that's how Vegas, you know, air conditions desert. So I'll go 27-24 Baltimore. I definitely am open to the fact that I could be very, very wrong in any number of directions.
I'm praying I am, Craig.
Love nothing more than to be wrong. I don't care about being right. And I do care, but I care more about like the team winning and then like the fun that would come with that than being right about the, when I pick the Commanders. Yeah. So, Baltimore 27-24. That's my pick. Read it and weep. It doesn't matter. It has no effect on the game.
Nope.
Not at all. All right. Real things before we leave?
Yes, sir.
Real things.
We're not going to be f***ing this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
And we'll close out with some Commanders because the Commanders social team asked their players today if they believe in the 5-second rule.
Do you believe in the 5-second rule?
No.
That's crazy. Don't even think about that.
I'm not eating anything off the ground.
Thank you.
Yes. Simple. Yes. A God made dirt, dirt don't hurt. 5 seconds.
Wow.
Yes.
Like
5-second rule. Like if you leave it on the ground for 5 seconds and pick it up and eat it, you're disgusting. You do it? Do you believe it? And you go, that's crazy. You just answered your own question. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy.
With food? No.
It depends what drops on the ground. If it's like a jelly bean, something with a hard, like, outside case, then it'll be good.
A jelly bean?
Like, something like that. Like, if you drop a pizza on the ground, it's over.
Okay.
But if you drop, like,
a peppermint, you gonna pick it up and put it in your mouth?
Nah, because it's sticky. So it's gonna pick up the
It's
debris.
Not sticky to touch your mouth.
Like a jelly bean, drop on the ground, and then you can pick that joint up fast.
See, I think there's a little bit of science. If I drop something on my kitchen floor that I just cleaned, maybe. But the answer is mostly no, Anthony. What do you think?
I'm no, too. I'm not eating anything.
Hard no? There. Yeah, depending. I think that's probably the simplest answer.
Yeah.
Maryland football is next, and I'm sure they're thrilled to follow us.